Midweek edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. We're going to talk some wrestling with Mark Ironside. Also, big basketball games tonight in the Big Ten and the Big 12 for Iowa and Iowa State. We'll look back in last night's UNI-Drake game and a whole lot more. All that coming up here on the Gym Class on KGYM. And from our studios here in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, it is the Gym Class taking you through the 3 o'clock hour here at KGYM, 1600 AM, 107.5 FM, and 106.3 FM. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes. Kyle Mann, our producer, will be joined by Mark Ironside coming up, the Hall of Famer here in just a little bit. Also, we're going to talk to Chris Atterbury coming up. He is in town today for the Hot Stove Banquet tonight, put on by the Cedar Rapids Colonels. A lot of great auction items over there. Just some great things going on anyway over at East Bank. And I think 11 tickets remaining-ish, thereabouts anyway. That's what they told me earlier today.
As of recently, yes. Uh-huh.
So you still have an opportunity if you want to make a last-minute decision and hit there. So ready to go. That'll be a good time tonight, and we're looking forward to having our part in it at KGYM. And, of course, we've been a big part of both the Cedar Rapids Colonels and the Minnesota Twins over the years, bringing you Twins baseball on 107.5 FM, and looking forward to that coming up this summer as well.
Looked at the map recently of the Treasure Island Network, and we are the southernmost affiliate of the Twins.
Does that make you feel warmer? Does that make you feel a little warmer today?
It should make
today?
The Twins feel warmer, yes.
Yeah, the caravan's not going to get to any more southern climb than it is today. Let's just go with that. Let's just go with that and have a nice treat on it here today. Plenty of the things to discuss. Wrestling, basketball. We got baseball to talk about. We got bowling to talk about as well. We'll do that here in just a little bit. Let's take a look back at last night's basketball game between UNI and Drake. Big win for the Panthers. They go to 2-5 now in the league. Drake drops to 5-2, brings a lot of people back into play, jumbles a lot of things up. And I was at my high school game last night calling that, Mark, but you were watching UNI and Drake last night, and you told me that you were very impressed with the way the Panthers put together, especially the last 25 minutes or so.
Yeah, 30 minutes after being down 16 in the first half. Drake looked very good in the early going, but UNI just chipped away, and Drake's long-range shooting went a little awry, and Bennett Cook had a good game off the bench at Austin Fife. Bennett Cook combination with Fife in the starting lineup is an interesting approach for Ben Jacobson, and so far working pretty well.
Yeah, and UNI get that second win. Are they right back in it? No, they're not back in it. They got to string together a lot of wins, but we've seen UNI do this in the past. They are very capable. They are one of the teams that people picked at the beginning of the year to be right there, if not at the top, very close to the top anyway. And maybe Ben Jacobson has got things turned in the right direction. He said they were very close, and perhaps he was right.
Yeah, right now Drake holds a half-game lead over Loyola and Missouri State. Drake 5-2, those two teams 4-2. And then you have a group of four teams at 3-3, and then three other teams with two losses. So I'm feeling this will come right down to the last week.
Yeah, and we'll usually do that. And Arch Madness coming up in late February or early March down at Scott Trade Center in St. Louis. 319-366-1600, our phone number. That is also our Hertina Stocker Jewelers text line. Hertina Stocker Jewelers, located on the Ped Mall in downtown Iowa City. Thanks to those folks for helping us out. Do appreciate that. And if you want to comment on last night's UNI game, tonight's Iowa game, tonight's Iowa State game, we'll have the Cyclones and the TCU Horned Frogs coming up tonight. That is a 7 o'clock pregame.
Mm-hmm.
And an 8 o'clock tip-off That threw me into a mild panic today when I saw somebody put that in at 6 o'clock. But it is an 8 o'clock start tonight for that one down in Fort Worth. And this just coming out this afternoon from TCU basketball, Jalen Fisher is going to miss tonight's game. Very talented guard, swingman for TCU, averaging a dozen points, but more importantly, 5.4 rebounds. And he's kind of the emotional backbone of that TCU team. He is out indefinitely with an injury. So TCU really, really needs this game tonight at 1-4. Now, they're 13-4 overall, but only 1-4 in the league. They've dropped a couple overtime games. All four of their losses have been by 5 points or less. They've had a murderous schedule to start off with. They've had a lot of toughies on the road. Not that every game in the Big 12 is not a tough one, but they have kind of drew the short end of the straw there, and they need to win tonight at home.
Mm-hmm.
They need to win.
Looked earlier today, TCU was a 10.5-point favorite over Iowa State. That was before this injury news came out, so perhaps that'll go down a point or two. Iowa favored by one. The line opened Rutgers by one. So odds makers see this game in Piscataway as a toss-up tonight. Poll question today at KGYMRadio.com has to do with the two games tonight. Tonight's winners are Iowa, Iowa State, both, or neither. Go to KGYMRadio.com and participate in the Emil's Hideaway poll question. Emil's located First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot, behind Taco John's.
This is talking about Iowa a little bit. As far as the Hawkeyes are concerned, for Rutgers, they're better. They're much better.
Beat Seton Hall
than they have been, and this is a dangerous Rutgers team. Had a contract extension with their head coach. They think things are trending upward right now, and Iowa, when they've gone to Rutgers, has been okay. They've done just what they should do at this point. But right now anyway, this thing's a toss-up tonight. And Iowa really needs to win this to get things rolling into Saturday when Purdue comes in.
Yeah, the odds reflect that. Rutgers also taking Michigan State right down to the wire. Spartans have lost twice since that game, but just shows the potential of Rutgers, especially at home. And Iowa went on the road and got a victory against Illinois in overtime, a game in which it played very well in the second half in overtime. And I'm pretty sure Iowa's going to need a complete game tonight.
319-366-1600. And that is our phone line. That is our text line as well. Mark Ironside's going to join us coming up here in just a little bit. A couple other news and notes here. First of all, reported last night and now has been confirmed today. The Jefferson Jayhawks will have a brand new football coach. Brian Webb announced his resignation after 6 years at Jefferson. And he will go to Sioux City East now to be the head football coach for the Black Raiders out there. And Brian was in Western Iowa earlier before he came to Jefferson. He was at Carroll Kemper, had a very good run out there. Sioux City East coming off a 4-5 season. Likewise, Jefferson 4-5. And great man, Brian Webb. Did a really good job at Jefferson. 37-40, had two playoff teams in his 6 years, and made Jayhawk football relevant, I think, again, under his watch. And we'll see. A lot of speculation who the new coach is going to be. I think there's one on the staff that would really like to do it. But got to open everything up, and remains to be seen who will be the new Jayhawk coach.
Yeah, Brian Webb came to went to Jefferson when the Jayhawks had the state's longest losing streak, and put that in the rearview mirror. And as you said, took the Jayhawks to a couple playoff appearances. Granted, it's easier to make the playoffs today than it was a few years ago, but nevertheless, you want to be included in the playoffs and get there. And Brian Webb did that, and as you say, he's from out in that area, and doesn't have a teaching position at East, coaching position there, the head coach, and East, like Jefferson last year, was 4-5. So, wish Brian the best of luck.
Yep. We wish him the best of luck. We'll miss him around here, and we'll see who will be the new leader of Jefferson football coming up next fall as they take to the field. And by the way, if you're wondering, next Wednesday, a week from today, they tell us could be the day the new districts come out as far as high school football is concerned. It'll either be next Wednesday or next Thursday, the 25th. So mark that down, and we will certainly break that down when we get them, because they're going to be very interesting. You got to find out how many districts are going to be, how many teams in each district, how many non-district games, how many playoff teams. Are all the district are all the games going to count as far as the wild cards are concerned? The Iowa Football Coaches Association has their recommendations. The Iowa High School Athletic Association had what they wanted to do. They were not the same thing. Usually I know what entity wins, but we shall see who is going to win or if there's going to be a compromise in this situation.
And who likes it and who doesn't.
Yeah, so we'll see how that all plays out. Take a break, come back. We got a busy show. Mark Ironside set to join us. Chris Atterbury is going to join us as well. We'll get you to a Bowling Night in America preview. All that coming up, plus the fact we've got some tickets to Rough Rider Hockey to give away for this Friday night's game against Team USA at the Ice Arena. That will be at 7:05, Small Business Appreciation Night, and we've got tickets for you. More information, go to kgymradio.com, and we will have those for one of our lucky listeners coming up here in just a little bit. We'll take a break, talk with Mark Ironside after this. You're listening to The Gym Class here on KGYM. Back with that more after this.
Your life requires a lot of energy because you're always on the move. Well, nobody understands energy better than Linn County REC. That's why they offer you the Smart Hub app. This cool tool makes it super snappy to pay your bill, see your billing and energy use, get alerts, even report an outage. So no matter where you are, you can manage your account in a tap or two. Get the Smart Hub app in the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. Download it, select Linn County REC as your electric provider, and log in with the same username and password you use at linncountyrec.com. Once it's on your phone, it keeps up with you. So, say you realize your bill needs to be paid ASAP. It's okay. Just tap Pay Now on the Linn County REC Smart Hub app, and you're good. Oh, and if the power goes out, you can report it right there on the app too. See how easy that is? The Linn County REC Smart Hub app. Another one of the nifty little benefits of membership with Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
When you're hiring, you want qualified candidates fast, and it can be hard to know where to find them. More than 3 million businesses use Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Whether you need entry-level or highly skilled employees, Indeed helps you find great talent and make the right hire. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/promo. That's Indeed.com/promo. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
You guys want to do it? Ryan Peck drives to rural towns every week, bringing music to kids who need it most.
From the top, ready?
He dreams of showing people the importance of music in a child's life. American Family Insurance is helping make that happen right now.
Keep on sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep
American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly.
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.
Two guys who may have faces made for radio. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes. The Gym Class. KGYM.
Yeah.
He's laughing at our, two guys with faces made for radio. Maybe we shouldn't play his walk-up music.
Hey, it's walk-up music. You can't help but to love that song. I mean, it just, it gets you going. It's just got such
it's
a
inspiring,
good,
isn't it?
It's just, it's not even the words, just the flow of it, the beat of it, you know, the rhythm, however you want to call it. It's a good listening song to get you fired up midday, you know, at 3-something o'clock when you're kind of dragging a little bit. That'll get you going.
You don't need a, you know, candy bar or anything. You just need to listen to that in wrestling talk here on KGYM.
Yeah, a little last ride and take you down and go a long ways.
There you go. Mark's appearance brought to you by Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance. And, of course, Kurt's located right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee on Johnson Avenue. Northwest and Cedar Rapids. And I think he was among the 13,000 plus over at Carver Hawkeye Arena on Sunday. And that was quite an atmosphere. Kind of took you back to the days of yesteryear for Iowa wrestling.
It was, you know, from the crowd attendance, which we've always still had pretty good attendance, especially for the sport of wrestling. We set the records every year and hold the records for the most attendance, you know, or set the bar for everybody. But, you know, just the way that our guys went out and competed and attacked and got after it, that's what was, you know, a ton of fun to watch and good to see. So they definitely made some gains, you know, not just in the rankings, but, you know, as a team as a whole and an improvement. And they're definitely heading in the right direction.
What was the highlight of the meet for you, Mark?
Oh, I don't know. I think probably Alex Marinelli. You know, I really, really liked him. He wrestled a very smart match. He could have been, you know, a lot more aggressive, but the guy he was wrestling was very sly, I guess. It's probably a good word to use. He was funky. He was just doing absolutely nothing but waiting for Marinelli to kind of get out of position, try forcing something. Marinelli showed quite a bit of poise that night or that afternoon, and the way he wrestled him and was really smart about it, and that's probably what impressed me the most, is just watching him. The other thing was Sam Stoll's gutsy performance out of Sam Stoll. I mean, that really right there, there's a few times in that match where Sam Stoll could have put his head down and just gave up the match, and we still would have won the dual meet, so it wouldn't have mattered. But, you know, he continued to scramble out of things. He continued to struggle, continued to move. He came off his belly one time, you know, and it finally got to a point where White from Ohio, Okie State, he's the one that literally just finally said, no mas, I'm done. You know, it was it for him, and it was really good to see out for Sam Stoll.
We were talking to Wyatt Schultz yesterday, and I made the point, you know, and I watched a wire to wire. Even in a loss, and I know more victories are not spoken of in the Iowa wrestling room, but the way Vince Turk wrestled against Dean Heil, Turk didn't stop moving until the end. Heil's really tough to score on, and I think that demonstrated the attitude, and maybe that's Turk all the time. I don't know.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit there.
Okay.
He didn't start moving until the second period. So that was his problem. Heil came out, scored early, wrote him out. You know, he made it a really, really easy first period for Heil. Vince Turk should have known going into that match that Heil is a two-time national champion and probably has the NCAA record for the most victories by 1 point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with that being said, he has to know that he's got to push Heil and push Heil, push him, push him, push him, push him, push him, and he doesn't want a match like that. He wants to sneak out an easy, set the cruise control, nice, easy pace match, and he worked right into that for Heil. He should have been coming out like a freight train right out of the get-go. So what if you give up a takedown? You come up off your belt. He didn't even try in the first period. He didn't even wrestle in the first period. Now, in the second, third period, he picked it up and he started wrestling pretty well. But it was just a little bit too late. He needed to make way more use of that first period. Whereas a guy like Heil, I mean, he makes a living on, you know, he's got good balance. He's smart. He knows where he's at. You've got to be able to break a guy like Heil. And then once you break him, you know, a guy like that. Like, I'm sitting here watching that match and calling the radio thinking, I would love to see if you pulled out Tom Brands back in the day when he's wrestling at 134 pounds, which is now 141, you put him out on the mat with a two-time national champion with Dean Heil, it would have been a complete embarrassment for Dean Heil. An embarrassment. And that's what's sad, that he's a two-time national champion. That weight class just really has not been that tough the past couple few years, if that's all that we have. And, I mean, there's just such a humongous difference in there. But the problem is everybody there allows him to get away with it. They play the game. Everybody wants an easy, you know, easy match, and hopefully it comes down to 1 point, which it does a lot of times with them. They think they're going to sneak something in, and it'll come back to bite him. I mean, he's lost a couple times this year, Heil has, you know, but, I mean, he's a game ring. Turn it on when it counts, I guess.
Yeah.
Duke's taking it out of my Ironside once again. How about that?
The guy you talked about, guys, and the question was, Mark posed that who I thought impressed. I think Bowman's got to be up there too, with how he wrestled against Keegan Moore, who's, you know, a good wrestler out there. But Bowman looked good.
He does. He's the type of guy that, you know, he's improving every time he gets out on the mat. I mean, the kid just, he's, and the reason I say he's improving, yeah, he's improving more technically, but more so where he's improving the most is his confidence. You can just see it when he's out there. He's just wrestling with more confidence. He feels good out there. He's getting more weigh-ins underneath his belt. He just, you can just tell he feels good. He doesn't get tired. And, you know, he's starting to do a lot of good things out there, you know. He's really going to obviously be tested this weekend when we go to Ohio State against Miles Martin, who's not the defending national champion, but national champion from Ohio State. So the thing about that, though, Matt, is if he can stay off his back and he can make it a hard-fought seven-minute match, he could have a chance to win that match.
You like the replays in college wrestling?
I like how they have
or
them
reviews.
Now.
Reviews,
I like how they have them now that where you have a separate referee, like former referee, on site. That's his specific job, is where it's kind of a neutral party, so to speak, and you're not having the referee that made the call one way, and then it's kind of hard for him to reverse it sometimes himself. So, yeah, I like it. I think in the sport of wrestling, it's good because things happen so fast. I mean, take, for example, just the other night or the other day when I went to the Jayhawk Invitational against Teske and Thompson in that match. I was there and I watched that match. There was a controversial call, which I thought was controversial at the time, between Teske and Thompson. But I didn't really get to see the, because as it was happening, someone in front of me, of course, stands up, you know, and I couldn't see. All of a sudden, I see, you know, them go to the mat, and then Teske kind of bridge off real quick, and then he gets two reversal. I go back, you know, I watch the actual footage from the match that was posted on social media, and after I watched that, had there been a video review there, in my opinion, if there's a video review there and someone wants to say Fort Dodge wants to challenge it, I go back and watch that. Absolutely, was there no way was there a 2-point takedown there, in my opinion. I mean, when I went back, I'm just like, what? I don't even know what was controversial about that now that I look at it. But sometimes things happen so fast, it's kind of hard to see. So, you know, I think it's good.
Yeah, and what's this mean for Iowa wrestling now? Obviously, non-conference, but it's Oklahoma State. It's a big-timer. Got everyone nationally, I think, looking at Iowa City again. Now you got to do it again this Sunday when Iowa goes down to Columbus to take on Ohio State. But moving up in the polls, does this make Iowa a player now coming up in February and March?
Well,
more of a player.
I mean, I think obviously, yes, for sure, it makes him more of a player. But everybody's been saying all along, it's basically a race to the championship between Penn State and Ohio State. Regardless, Oklahoma State, yeah, we beat them. They were ranked third. You know, now we're up to fourth. You know, we've proven this was a great test for us. We proved that, you know, we deserve to be right up there with those big boys, but we're going to find out this weekend or not if we are national championship caliber, I guess is, it was a great test last weekend to give ourselves an opportunity to move up the rankings because we hadn't all year, we hadn't wrestled anybody in front of us. So now we jumped quite a bit right there. But now it's a matter of, like it has been at Nationals for quite a few years with Penn State. It's like Penn State, and then there's everybody else. This year it's Penn State and Ohio State and everybody else. If we're 25, 30 points back, you know, from the national championship, well, are we a contender? No. Even if we're second in the country, we're 20 points back, we're not really contending, you know. That's what we're going to find out this weekend against an extremely tough Ohio State and Ohio State crowd in Columbus.
Starts out at 125, or presumably so. Spencer Lee against Nathan Tomasello. Tomasello with a big-time pedigree. Only wrestled two matches this year, though. So I guess your thoughts on that match.
If it starts at 25, which I'm presuming, I think that it will, if Iowa loses that match, I do not see us winning that dual meet. We have to have that match. Have to in order to win that dual meet, unless something absolutely crazy happens. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, obviously this weekend against Pacini, Pacini been beat a couple of times. You know, Spencer Lee proved in that first period how much more dominant he was than Pacini. But at the same time, by the end of the first period, Spencer Lee was shot. I mean, he was dead. He had nothing left in the tank. It was everything he could do to walk off the mat, whether that was because, you know, he's not accustomed to the one-hour weigh-ins quite yet. He didn't do a good job with his nutrition after he weighed in, maybe compiled too much into him, and it caught up to him, didn't get a good enough warm-up in between weigh-in and the match. I don't know. You know, we'll see, but he was definitely unbelievably exhausted. I would say normally going in, wrestling a guy like Tomasello, who typically doesn't get very tired, but like you mentioned, he's only got two matches on the year coming off of an injury, so I mean, that's a good thing for Spencer Lee. Is Tomasello might not be in the best of shape either to go, you know, once you get into the full 7 minutes. So it's going to be a very interesting match. This is obviously the match with Tomasello being ranked number one that we're going to find out, I guess, how good Spencer Lee really is. But regardless, we win this match or lose this match, you know, they're still going to meet more likely, you know, could meet three more times throughout the season. With the Big Tens, they could meet again, and then the Nationals, they could meet again. So even if Spencer Lee gets beat by 3-4 points, it's not like, well, you throw in the towel, Spencer Lee's not going to win Nationals this year. I mean, Spencer Lee's just kind of getting going. He's still working on his conditioning and so forth. He's still going to, you know, working into this Big Ten schedule, and then he'll get two more cracks at it. He's going to go nowhere but up, whereas a guy like Tomasello, yeah, he's only had two matches on the year. He might not be in the best of shape right now, but I think ability-wise, Tomasello's kind of at his plateau, being his fifth-year senior year, and a guy like Spencer Lee is true freshman. Spencer Lee's got nowhere to go but up. So, I mean, if it's a 3-4-point match, I'm not really too down or, you know, on him or anything like that. I mean, I think he'll be fine.
This thing is chock full, as we're talking with Mark Ironside here on a Wednesday on the Gym Class, chock full of great matchups. You mentioned Lee and Tomasello right from the start, and then Ohio State's got a couple ranked guys, probably going to be favored right there, but then you get to Sorensen and Hayes at 159, Jordan and Kemmerer, that's going to be a good match, Marinelli and Campbell, and then Ohio State's got their hammers at the end. They got one, two. They got number one or number two, number one in the last three. So, it's not going to be easy. Certainly,
it's not going to be easy. I mean, they've got, you know, three guys in their lineup ranked number one in the country. We have zero. You know, I mean, we're up against a lot right now. We are by far for sure the underdogs in this meet. Especially going into an incredibly hostile environment like Ohio State, some ruthless fans. I mean, this is the type of stuff where, honestly, our guys have no pressure on them at all, whatsoever. And they're going into an environment where they're not expected to win, you know, that it's going to be hostile, like I mentioned. And these guys should just be just roaring and ready to get after it and go out there and let the fur fly. If we go out and we wrestle kind of tense and trying to keep matches close and just kind of hoping to win by a point, then the mentality of our team is not where it needs to be. But I really believe they're going to go out and they're going to give it their all and kind of see where they're at. But again, it's, you know, it's still only January and Nationals aren't until March, so I don't think you just throw it in, but it's going to be a very good measure. You stick to, we'll see where we're at compared to them, and then we'll wrestle Penn State February 11th or something like that, I think. We'll see. I know that we got a ways to go, but this is how you get better right here, by being put in situations like this.
It's not often you see an Olympic gold medalist still on college campus, but that's Kyle Snyder, and he's as decorated as any wrestler has been at that young age. What makes him so good?
Well, one, he's just playing good. I mean, God God give him some great talent. But the thing is not only, I mean, God gives a lot of people great talents, but very seldom do people really put them to full use like what Kyle Snyder has. Kyle Snyder has, you know, a great mind, a very open mind. You know, he wins the Olympic championships, and in like literally a day later, the next day later, he's sitting right there in Columbus in the classroom. You know, I mean, you can't say that about too many people. And, you know, he's got his head screwed on straight, and he's just a smart guy. He wrestles hard. He's fun to watch. I mean, he's just, you can't fault him for really anything other than being a Buckeye. You know, I mean,
Rick Swan would like to talk to you across the hall. The Ohio native.
Everybody wants to know about Pat Downey.
You know,
I mean,
what?
At one time, it was Spencer Lee, and now it's the Pat Downey watch.
I'm hearing a lot of different things. I'm hearing that we might see Pat Downey this weekend. I'm hearing that. So, whether we do or not, I guess yet will be seen. I just don't even know what to believe anymore about Pat Downey because I've heard so much stuff. But I hear that he could possibly wrestle this weekend. Now, if he does wrestle this weekend, I don't know where the heck we're going to put him. I mean, he hasn't been down all year long at 84. He hasn't weighed in at all. You know, he's weighing 200 a couple weeks ago. I mean, that's quite a cut for him on a one-hour weigh-in for your first match out, taking on a guy like Miles Martin, a national champ. You know, and then, well, okay, let's see, he's not ready to go at 184 quite yet, but so let's throw him at 197. Then he takes on the number one guy in the country there, you know. So no matter where you put him, I mean, they're asking an awful lot out of him first match right out of the gate if he does wrestle. It might be a situation where if he is cleared to wrestle and he can wrestle, they wait until the following week when, you know, the competition isn't quite so steep and you kind of give you an opportunity to work yourself into it. You know, if it is 84, to get the weight down a little bit more naturally and so forth. But you may possibly see a Pat Downey sighting this weekend in Columbus.
Clear physically, right?
Physically, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it'd be interesting. This Ohio State team, is this the year if you're Tom Ryan, you got to be thinking right now, this is the year we can knock off Penn State. With two number one rated guys that are seniors, Tomasello and Jordan out there. They got the firepower this year. And now Iowa's got to go in there and try to beat them, show what they can do. But Ohio State, I think, is thinking big picture at this point.
Well, Ohio State and Penn State both. But Ohio State for sure is going after Penn State all guns a-blazing. I mean, they got a pretty good, you know, pick up in Joy McKenna, transferring 141 pounds, transferring from Stanford. That was really big for them. That really kind of solidified their team. He's probably going to continue to work his way up the rankings. The thing is about Ohio State, they can score a lot of bonus points, as well as Penn State too. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens between those teams and if a team like Iowa or Okie State, if they get their get some things together, but, you know, I'm not really worried about them. More so concerned about our Iowa Hawkeyes. See if, Iowa can sneak in there with, you know, potentially, you know, start, you know, making some waves, you know, and we're going to see kind of where we're at this weekend or not.
Ohio State at Penn State, February 3rd.
That is going to be a huge, huge match. I don't know what we have going on February 3rd. I don't think we're wrestling that
day.
That's
a Sunday, no. Iowa, that's a Saturday, I beg your pardon, and Iowa, Minnesota is Saturday night, or Friday night.
If I'm gone, I don't know what time that meet is, but if I'm gone at a volleyball tournament, the DVR will be set.
It's either 5 or 7 Central Time.
All right, good. So hopefully we'll be done, and I will be sitting in the living room with the popping popcorn for that one, because that is going to be fun to watch. Wow. Where's that one at?
At Penn State.
Bryce Jordan Arena is going to – I'll tell you what, Penn State's attendance this year is going to be – they might beat Iowa this year in overall attendance between Ohio State going out there and then us going out there as well too. I mean, you're talking about probably two sellouts in Bryce Jordan Arena.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of people.
19,000 or so. And I still remember when Penn State, you know, stuck their first significant Iowa match at Rec Hall. Just to get people there and get it sold out. So things have progressed pretty well for Kale.
Yeah, I'm glad. Because Kale, his first few years, kept wrestling in Rec Hall.
Yeah.
And it was driving me nuts as a fan. You know, we'd go to Rec Hall and it sold out with 6,600 people, but you could have, you know, sold another 6,000 tickets. Finally, he got smart and, you know, opened it up and started wrestling Bryce Jordan, at least when they wrestle us. You know, so, you know, you're promoting the sport, number one, but number two, you're making, you know, more revenue as well. So, great place to wrestle out there, and it's a lot of fun going out there. I look forward to going out to Penn State every single year.
6015 on the text line, thanks for having great startup music.
Hey, thank
what follows isn't bad either, folks. Okay.
No, that's good too. That's good too. And he made it to the Jayhawks, so that's good.
I did. I made it in. I wish I had time to watch all the finals, but I just got over there, worked, you know, and then we shut down and ran over there and watched that one match and got back over. And you know what? I hear people talking about that match and, well, no, there's no more undefeated guys or whatever, almost like they're happy about it and this and that. I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, not very often anymore, at high school and college both, do you see two guys willing to put on the line what they put
on the
line.
That's what I like about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
They didn't duck each other.
They did not duck each other one time, and they didn't just go out and just kind of wait for the other guy to slip on a wet spot. I mean, they got after it. Two very high-scoring matches, and last-second victory by Teske, overtime victory by Thompson. I mean, I commend those two. That's fantastic for the sport right there. It was great to see, and I thank both of them and their coaches for doing what they're doing with those athletes.
No, I agree with you 100%. I thought it was fantastic. In this day and age, you don't see that happen very often. That was kind of a throwback to old school for any sport. You know, like you always say, iron sharpens iron, so... You're going to get better wrestling against those guys, and that was fun to see.
And it's good for them for both to get a loss, and the fact that it's humbling. You know, both of them are undefeated going into this year, going for the fourth titles, and you take a loss in your own state. That's humbling, and it's never really good to lose. I mean it's no fun to lose, but by them putting that on the line and both of them losing, they're going to be better for it. And if you looked at both of their comments after they lost, they were very, very classy yeah. wrestlers when they lost. And, you know, and that's what impresses me even more so about them rather than just their athletic skills and their wrestling skills.
Sounds good. Well, enjoy Columbus. That seems to be redundant. That's just, you know, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun on Sunday.
Well, I hope.
you know what? It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun because, like you said, they have all these rated matchups going. I think it's going to be great. So we'll talk about it next week.
Okay, that sounds good, guys.
Thank you, Mark.
Good luck in bowling night.
We'll need it. More on that later on. Mark Ironside joining us on Wednesdays, courtesy of Kurt Gustafson Agency of American Family Insurance, Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids. We'll take a quick break, come back. Chris Atterbury, the Twins Radio Network, set to join us. The big hot stove banquet coming up tonight in Cedar Rapids, and we'll talk Twins baseball when we return.
If you work for yourself, don't think of that sound as a receipt being crumpled. Think of it as lost deductions, because every business receipt you lose is cash lost. $5, $3, $2. And if you misplace $10 of business receipts every workday for a year, that's $2,600 in lost deductions, unless you've already snapped them with QuickBooks.
Snap and sort your expenses for maximum deductions at tax time. Visit QuickBooks.com. Smarter business tools for the world's hardest workers. QuickBooks, backing you.
If you're a small business, first impressions can make all the difference. With Grasshopper, you get all the features of a professional business phone system on your mobile phone. Choose a business phone number, make calls, and send texts. Stay connected and work from anywhere with features like Wi-Fi calling and our desktop app. Set up your account in minutes with no long-term contracts and 24/7 customer support. Make your small business big. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. That's grasshopper.com/radio.
Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, pick up a 5 1/4 ounce bottle of Lucas Fuel Injector Cleaner for $4.99. Clean and lubricate your fuel system while increasing miles per gallon with a bottle of Lucas Fuel Injector Cleaner for $4.99 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hawkeyes, Cyclones, Panthers, and all the college teams in the area. If it's in the news, they'll be talking about it. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on The Gym Class, KGYM.
Always good to catch up with Mark Ironside, the Hall of Famer, joins us on Wednesdays here on The Gym Class on KGYM. Iowa State basketball coming up tonight, 7 o'clock pregame on 1600 AM. Cyclones taking on TCU from down in Fort Worth. We'll have it for you right here on KGYM on 1600 AM. For you tonight, just past 8 o'clock with the tip-off, John Walters and Eric Heft on the call of that big game in the Big 12 Conference. Also coming up tonight here locally, it's the annual Colonel's Hot Stove Banquet. We've been giving away tickets, telling people about it, and I think they had a single-digit number of tickets remaining today. So if you are interested, make sure you make your way out to East Bank tonight and inquire. Let's make it a sellout tonight. And speaking of that, one of the guests from the Minnesota Twins that'll be in town tonight, maybe in town right now, enjoying our beautiful southern weather, is Chris Atterbury from the Minnesota Twins Radio Network. Of course, we're a proud Twins affiliate here in Cedar Rapids on KGYM. And Chris, I hope you brought your sunblock, things like that, because as Mark said earlier, this is the southernmost point that the Twins Network gets to. So, you know, welcome to the tropics, I guess.
Well, I need the sunblock because I heard I was going to be in the gym class and I wore my old gym outfit from high school. So, you know, the shorts with the piping, and so I got a lot of pasty white legs showing right now, so I need a little sunblock.
Well, tell you what, it's got to be a great time in the off season. Looking back on what was a terrific 2017 for Minnesota Twins baseball, and I know everybody is very, very excited looking ahead to what the possibilities are anyway with this team in 2018.
Yeah, and you're right. It was fun last year, but I think what's interesting is that it's very much an idea about looking forward, like you mentioned. It's kind of watch all these young kids take another step, see what kind of pieces can be added. There's still a ton of really talented players out there on the free agent market that are going to need homes before camps open up in about a month. So it's going to be really exciting. And we're excited to be back in Cedar Rapids. You know, this is my, I think, third or fourth year in a row. I'm pretty sure it's because I just get worn out by that silent auction. I end up carting more stuff home on the bus. My wife looks at me sideways when I get back. But it's going to be fun this year because we bring back a couple of colonels. And, you know, we've finally been in Cedar Rapids long enough that we're getting guys who have come through here and developed relationships here and had host families here. And, you know, Mitch Garber had just a phenomenal year when he was a colonel, and I think that really launched him through our system all the way to the big leagues. And then Zach Granite, too. So it's going to be really fun tonight. I know last year we had just an amazing time with Tommy Watkins was here and Buxton was here. And I tell you what, the year Buck had after he visited Cedar Rapids, if Zach and Mitch can put some of that in a bottle, I think we'll take it.
You can't help but have a good time around Tommy Watkins, though.
Well, he's unbelievable, right? Like, he walks down the street and people are, you know, shouting out of the windows at him. Like, he was the mayor.
Speaking of the free agent market, what do you hear about Yu Darvish?
Well, he's still unemployed.
Yeah.
And his most marketable skill is throwing a baseball over a plate. So he's going to have to find somewhere to do that. And the Twins are still in the conversation. It's going to be interesting to see what pushes this market to break, right? I mean, the agents and the players, they want more years. And the teams seem to be saying, why would we give you 7 years when the last three are going to stink? We'll give you a bunch of money up front, but shorter years. And someone's going to have to blink. I know the Twins and Thad in particular has just such a great relationship of trust with Yu Darvish. I think Yu looks at the young team here. So we're still a part of that conversation. But, you know, to be honest with you, if he really is insisting on 6 years, it's not going to happen in Minnesota. But if it becomes a situation where the market dictates or he's just, you know, tired of waiting and he wants to say, play for four, I think the Twins are very much a part of that.
Well, what do you think of the pieces that the Twins have acquired in the offseason?
Well, I like the way the bullpen's shaping up, especially with Addison Reed getting on deck here. I know Fernando Rodney gets signed and people are like, ho-hum. But he's a guy who's had a pretty good track record of getting some big outs you know, in a variety of different uniforms. And what that did initially was just push guys back. We've got all these young guys, you know, Hildenberger and Busnitz and Johnny Curtis and, you know, a lot of guys that come through Cedar Rapids. And they were forced into roles last year that were probably a little advanced for their experience. And then you add Zach Duke. And now, okay, well, now here's your left-hander who's seen it all, done it all. Kind of a left-handed Matt Belisle almost in terms of his impact on young players. His knowledge, his approach, his work ethic, and at this point of his career, just a really good guy, in particular lefty on lefty, and what a boon that is for a guy like Taylor Rogers. And then now you had Addison Reed, who's a legit closer, and more than that, a legit strikeout guy. And that's what the pen has been missing. We just haven't missed very many bats. You know, the vaunted college closer class we had of, you know, Cedaroff and Jake Reed and Nick Birdie and all those guys. Chagua was part of that. You know, it just hasn't worked out for a variety of reasons for most of those guys. They need to miss some bats in the bullpen, and Addison Reed misses bats.
You mentioned some of the guys that have gone through the Colonels organization or the Twins organization and played here in Cedar Rapids. Zach Granite, Mitch Garver, of course, Byron Buxton, Max Kepler, those guys right there. But we're starting to see the pitchers come up now, and you mentioned some of the guys like Gonsalves and Business and other people like that.
Hildy was here, I think.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, we're starting to see the arms go through now. We saw the bats go through, and now we're seeing the arms go through. And that's where the Twins are going to have to, you know, it's the same in baseball every year. If you get pitching, you're going to be okay. And some of those guys are going to have to come through in a big way this spring and summer.
No, you're right about that. And, you know, Gonsalves is a guy who's probably kind of on the doorstep, a guy who needs to, in the next two seasons, kind of establish himself. And we got to figure out what Trevor May can do when he comes back from his injury in terms of being in a starting pitching role. You know, Derek Falvey told me an interesting number about a lot of these relievers who signed massive, you know, multi-year deals here in the offseason. A lot of them went to camp last year as non-roster invitee. A guy like Anthony Swarzak, non-roster invitee, and now he's making $9 million a year for 3 years. Good for him. So some of those types of guys are lurking out there in the weeds as well. But no, you're right. I don't think there's a ton of concern right now about what this offense looks like and certainly what the defense looks like, which I think we're pretty comfortable with. But it's going to be a matter of can you miss some bats and can you get some outs. And that's going to be something that we're going to talk about literally till the last day of the season.
Chris, should fans be nervous about Miguel Sano's situation?
Well, I would be. I am, right? I mean, it's just not a good situation right in any way, shape, or form. And I think there is worry, and just because the very fact that it was alleged and those allegations are very serious and the process by which you have to now unravel that, you have to figure out, is this a pattern of behavior? Is it a one-time thing? What actually occurred? It's out of the team's hands and to the league level, and I think that anytime something that serious is alleged, I think it's very serious, very troubling, and very worrisome. And it's one of those deals where, and we've seen enough of it now, guys, that, you know, it's not, you know, your team versus my team, my sport versus your sport, my business versus your business. It's everywhere. It's unacceptable everywhere, and it won't be the last we hear of it in Major League Baseball, I'm sure. But, yeah, I'm concerned about what may or may not transpire and what may or may not have transpired. I think that's legit.
3:51 here on the Wednesday edition of the show. Chris Atterbury joining us from the Twins Radio Network in town for the Hot Stove Banquet coming up tonight, hosted by the Cedar Rapids Colonels. And speaking of Cedar Rapids, number one prospect in the Twins organization, we got a chance to watch Royce Lewis last year, and our jaws dropped several times during the season watching Royce Lewis.
He is some kind of kid, isn't he? I mean, after he was picked, and you know, the classic people are like, oh, I can't believe they cheaped out, they didn't take Hunter Green. And then you meet Royce Lewis, and you're like, "Oh my gosh, can I hire his parents to raise my kid?" He's just a phenomenal kid. He's a ridiculous athlete. And look at, he went from playing high school baseball to playing in the Midwest League in the span of what, 2 months?
Yep.
He's just a winner. He's just a kid that has all the physical tools. He has all the mental tools. You know, the closest comp I could make to him would be Byron when he was here, and he's a guy who, when he plays for your team and your community, he makes your team better, he makes his teammates better, he makes the community he's in better wherever he is. I just love the kid to death. I think if you spend a second around Royce Lewis, you get that you know, just kind of who he is as a human being and how he was raised. And he is some kind of special. I'm a big Royce Lewis guy, but he's not all you're going to see. I mean, you're going to see a nice wave of talented kids coming through. I think Alex Kirilloff will probably be here at some point this year, who was an MVP of the Appy League, coming straight out of being homeschooled in high school, and then unfortunately at Tommy John and missed a year. But you're going to see a lot of young, talented kids in the lower levels of this system. Wander Javier is another kid that's going to raise some eyebrows. And I know the Colonels want that championship, right? Like every year, that's the first question we get. When are we going to finally get to that last round and get it done? And who knows, maybe this will be the year. But if you could buy Royce Lewis stock, man, I'm all in on that.
Chris, last for me, what's it like working with a character like Danny Gladden?
that's a question, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is interesting. Let me say that. It's interesting because you don't know if he's going to punch you in the face or hug you at any given moment. He is one of a kind. This is something Tim Lindenau. He says, Danny is one of a kind. And then he pauses and he says, and thank God for that.
Well, I know the Twins caravan is a very fun time of the year. Not every team does this. It's kind of unique because you guys don't go in different directions. And, you know, a lot of the teams have their conventions for a weekend, which the Twins do, obviously. But they do this caravan as well. And they just kind of spread out through the upper Midwest. And it's not the, you know, the most beautiful weather out there, as you know.
This started from the beginning. And then I think once the team came in 61, everyone involved with it realized we can't just be Minneapolis' team or the Twin Cities team or even Minnesota's team. We've got to be Wisconsin, the Dakotas, Iowa. These are our fans, and we need to not just expect that, hey, we're here, come see us. We need to go out and court them, and we need to go out and let them know how much we appreciate them. You know, I talked with Tony Oliva about his early caravanning days. They'd go all the way out to Montana and all over the place. They'd be gone for a month. So we love it. I think it's important for the players to get out and see the fans that are out there cheering for them, buying their jersey, buying tickets, spending their hard-earned money to make a trip up to Target Field. I think it's really important for those players to get out here and realize how hard it is, what an effort it is to be a family of four in Cedar Rapids that comes up for a weekend series at Target Field. And I think this kind of gives them some of that perspective. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've heard it. Like, oh, my gosh, really? Fans come from here? Or they run into somebody at an event, and they're like, I've seen you at the ballpark. And I think that's important. I think it's a critical part of the bond between the team you play for and the fans that make that possible. And, you know, and I certainly get a kick out of it, and it's a great chance to get out and say hello to people. We want everybody to come see us at Target Field. We know that's not possible, and I think we take a very serious responsibility as an organization to make the effort to reciprocate and go out and see other people.
Well, sounds good. Enjoy the time tonight at Cedar Rapids. Sounds like it'll be a full house, and we'll look forward to listening to you on the Twins Radio Network coming up spring.
I'm going to try to buy an autograph picture of you at the silent auction.
Let's hope it'll bring a little bit.
See you guys.
Thanks, Chris. Chris Atterbury joining us here from the Twins Radio Network. 3:55, we need to take a quick break, come back. We'll have a Bowling Night in America preview. Right now, we've got your chance to win Rough Rider tickets to Friday night's game against Team USA. Caller number 6, you will get those at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Rough Riders and Team USA this Friday night at the Stable. Caller number 6, you'll win those tickets. Back with more after this.
When it's time to install the cabinets and countertops, pros don't have time to wait around for the cabinets and countertops. So the Home Depot ships on-trend Hampton Bay cabinets and countertops with select finishes in as little as 48 hours. And during our winter kitchen and bath event, pros get 10% off bulk orders of 10 or more. Save time, save money. There's no better time. The winter kitchen and bath event for pros, going on now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing, valid through March 7th.
The skills you can develop as a soldier in the Army National Guard can give you an edge in the high-tech job market of tomorrow. The Guard offers career training to take advantage of your skills in science, technology, engineering, and math that can help give you a leg up to a high-paying and rewarding STEM profession. Get a head start on your career while earning money to pay for college. Log on to NationalGuard.com to learn about all of the STEM career opportunities in the Army National Guard.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
Kevin Lehman joining us tomorrow. We will talk about last night's UNI Drake game and college basketball with the coach, Kevin Lehman, coming up tomorrow on the gym class on KGYM. Allen in Cedar Rapids, congratulations. You are our winner. You'll see the Rough Riders and Team USA on Friday night. Tonight, it's a unique situation on a couple of fronts. Bowling Night in America preview brought to you by May City Bowl, Trent Street, Southwest.
Happens a couple, three times a year. We bowl ourselves.
That's
and
right.
And we're going to have be one man down, so it should be a quick night. We just have to be near our average, 50 pins or something like that, to win games and the series. So we'll see how that goes on lanes 21 and 22, try to improve on our 10th place standing, and not that far out of 5th or 6th. So.
No. And this is our opportunity because most teams pick up 3 or 4.
Indeed.
On this night, but you got to show up. You got to do the bowling. You got to get through it.
You just can't go through the motions,
right? You can't go through the motions, even though you're, in essence, bowling against yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Special BNA, happy birthday to 96-year-old Betty White today, who is on record as crediting her longevity to vodka and hot dogs.
Not bowling?
Seriously, not bowling.
Okay. Vodka and hot dogs.
Vodka and hot dogs for Betty White. How about that?
I think it's she's a marvel of medical science. the former golden girl, Betty White. I didn't know that. Very good. Very good. Dynamite drop-in.
How about that?
Yeah. All right. Kevin Lehman tomorrow. Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn minus TB today. It'll be Alex and Kyle taking you from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock. Cyclone basketball coming up tonight at 7 for you right here on KGYM. We will talk to you tomorrow at 3. Hope you enjoyed it. May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone.